Welcome to Stateside. I'm April Baer. This weekend was supposed to be Holland, Michigan's Tulip Time Festival, a 90-year tradition. But as with so many things, it's been canceled this year. Later in the program, we'll hear about what that means for the community and how you can still get your tulip fix. But first, we're joined by Congressman Bill Huizenga. He represents Holland, as well as Muskegon, Grand Haven, and other towns in the 2nd Congressional District. He's here to talk with us about evolving developments in Washington and elsewhere. Congressman Huizenga, welcome back to Stateside.
I appreciate it, April.
You held a telephone town hall yesterday to talk to your constituents about what's going on in the community. What were you hearing?
Yeah, that actually was the eighth week in a row that we have done that. Lots of frustration. And as you probably well know, people don't always distinguish in their minds the difference between local government, state government, and federal government. So there's plenty of federal directed questions. You know, how is the Paycheck Protection Program working? What is happening with the stimulus checks, the status of that, Social Security issues, those kinds of things come up. But there were a lot of questions about the state of Michigan. When is it going to be opening up? When is that going to be an opportunity for people to go back to work? But also lots of questions and very much a frustration level with the unemployment insurance system not working, not getting in contact with people. Honestly, a lot of frustration also with not being able to reach local government or state government folks. Certainly, they feel like the governor's office isn't reachable. And we've kept our offices open and doing it all virtually. But we've got people answering the phones, and certainly constituents appreciate that.
For what it's worth, I do believe Governor Whitmer's office is open. As to whether people are able to get through right now, that's another matter.
Sure.
You know, while your town hall was going on, some Michiganders, possibly even some of your 2nd District constituents, were at the Capitol yesterday demanding an end to the governor's state of emergency. We saw also a lot of anger. I'm probably putting that mildly. A lot of yelling, not a lot of social distance. What was your take on the anger that we see right now?
Well, you know, certainly those people, whether it was the original Operation Gridlock or whether it was this version, I think it would have been far more effective had people stayed in their cars, maintained social distancing. But I think it's indicative of the frustration level and people just not understanding. And I know the governor has reversed herself on this, but they didn't understand why they could go out in a rowboat and go fishing, but not if they had a trolling motor. You know, West Michigan is very much a small business haven, and it's also based on a lot of construction, a lot of independent contractors that are out there who very much feel that they can go back to work at a very low risk to themselves and employees and anybody else. And they're wanting to open up the economy. Yesterday I had a phone call with the chief economist of S&P Global. And one of the things that she was saying is that the estimates are that within 2 months, 24 to 25% of small businesses could be out of business. And if that grows and increases even to 3 or 4 months, we see that climb get even steeper. And that's going to have a huge impact on our economy.
Michigan has become a flashpoint, not just for coronavirus cases, which now number more than 40,000, but also for the anti-government protests that have been happening in several states. What are you saying to your constituents about their frustration right now?
Well, obviously, I'm telling them they need to reach out as best they can to their state legislators for those issues, to the governor's office. And I wasn't implying that nobody was working at the governor's office. What I'm saying is people don't know how they feel like they can reach out and leave a comment, that they can have their voices heard. That's their frustration that they have. And obviously, what I'm encouraging them to do is be safe, be smart, but also to have their voices heard. That is, that's part of our entire process. And I understand that there were and are significant spots around the country and around the state that are having tougher times than others. And as I've said, you know, Marquette County is very different than Macomb County. Ottawa County is different than Oakland County. Wexford County, just south of Traverse City, is different than Wayne County. And it makes sense to me that if we're not going to have the same standards for Montana and Maine and Michigan, then we should maybe also look at the regionalization of that type of thing here in Michigan and try to, again, make sure that we are able to open as much of this economy in a very low risk, safe way that we possibly can. Because the longer we wait, it's just the harder this climb up the hill is going to be.
We know that when people are in proximity, for example, at work, people do get sick. I mean, we're seeing this all the time in Michigan's hospitals. What is the tipping point for you in terms of knowing whether workplaces are functioning safely? You know, what are the benchmarks that you trust right now?
Well, and obviously everybody's struggling with that. This week I had a call with almost all of the emergency managers from the 2nd District. We're on a call and they invited some of their colleagues from around the state to join. I also had a conference call with all of the heads of the county health departments. And those were the exact questions I was asking them. Not everybody has a consistent answer, other than they know that it needs to be smaller crowds. So in other words, not the same density, not the same sort of gathering points. You mentioned Tulip Time being canceled. That may be appropriate now. What does July look like? What does August look like? I think we're going to have to just be following the trends of where those cases are going to really make those decisions. But I try to leave those up to the healthcare professionals. But I hear very inconsistent things, even within West Michigan, about people's perspectives. And I'm talking about healthcare professionals' perspectives about what that means and how quickly we can get back. Most are just saying, look, the impact hasn't been as significant as what had been predicted. We believe as we are building PPE and we're building the equipment that we need, that we are certainly have the capacity to handle any kind of wave of COVID that may be coming, and they feel prepared and therefore are ready to move on, I think, quicker than some others are.
Your family operates a gravel company.
Yes.
We hear it's likely that construction of several kinds will be reopening maybe at the end of the first week in May. Can you tell us a little bit about what you expect to see in terms of demand?
Well, it's interesting. So here's a perfect example. We have state projects that are being done because they're critical infrastructure. And so I have the stone and the sand and the gravel that is needed for those projects, but I'm not able to make any more of those. And so at some point, we're going to have a supply issue if we can't get open to just start putting material on the ground that has to be mined and it has to be processed. So we're not sure exactly outside of those larger projects what it's going to look like, other than we know that there's a lot of residential projects that are in process right now and in progress. They need to get finished. I'm hearing that more and more of the business investment that is being sidelined right now as people are trying to figure it out. So we're anticipating an impact. We just don't know what exactly it's going to be.
What's the work from home life looking like for you right now?
Conference calls. Conference right. calls, Zoom calls, media interviews. I've got all five of my kids are home. I have three college age kids, a high schooler and an eighth grader. I thought I lived in a reasonably sized house, but I have difficulty sometimes finding a quiet spot, and have found myself in my Ford Explorer at the end of the driveway on occasion to do interviews and things like that, because it's the quietest spot in the house.
You've introduced a bill that would offer a benefit for Michigan's first responders and those throughout the country. Could you tell us a little bit about what you wanted to do for them?
Yes. What we introduced was a bill called the HEROES Act. It's helping emergency responders overcome emergency situations. And what we do with our men and women who are in uniform, who go into combat, actual combat in the military, is that we give them a tax holiday. The federal government doesn't collect their federal income tax for that time that they are in theater. I wanted to take that same concept as a way to reward and incentivize and say thank you to those men and women who are serving our community in a different way right now, who are the first responders. They may be the EMTs and the police and fire folks that are responding to calls. It's not just the nurses and the doctors and those at the hospital that are have a medical license. I also want to reward those who are, you know, they may be cleaning the equipment that just got used on a COVID patient. They may be cleaning the rooms that that a COVID patient has been in. I want to say thank you to them as well. And you know, the pharmacists, everybody who's involved in that healthcare side. So it's not as slight to anybody else who is out there, but as a way of saying to our healthcare workers that are directly dealing with this, we want to say thank you. And here's a small way of doing that by 4 months of you not having to pay your federal income tax.
Bill Huizenga represents Michigan's 2nd District on the west side of the state. Congressman Huizenga, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks, April. Appreciate being with you.